Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going to be diving into something I think everyone listening can relate to, recovering from tough stuff, you know, life's challenges.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, we always think of recovery as this like big dramatic thing, like it's this big event, but actually we're all constantly recovering from something.
That's so true. It's like life's this obstacle course we're all running.
Yeah.
And that's where today's source material comes in. Your biggest life challenges, 8 steps to recovery.
Right.
It's this excerpt from a self-help guide.
It's a great guide, and it really digs deep into not just, you know, what are those big challenges, but like, how do we move forward?
Yeah.
What are the strategies we can use?
So it's like a roadmap to actually being resilient.
Totally.
Okay, so first things first, what are we even dealing with here?
Yeah.
The guide kind of throws out these like big heavy hitters right away, right?
Yeah.
Lost love, childhood trauma, even like dealing with death.
Yeah.
Do you think those are kind of universal? Like everyone deals with some version of those.
I mean, they absolutely are. And I think they hit at the core of who we are. I think what's interesting about the guide is it doesn't just say like, here are the challenges. It really digs into the nuances of those challenges. Like
yeah.
with lost love, it's not just the heartbreak, right?
Yeah.
It's like how that can impact your ability to trust in the future, or even like how many of us have compared, you know, every new person we date to the one we lost.
Oh, totally. You're using that past relationship as the measuring stick.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. So we've got this like big, almost like archetypal challenges.
That's right.
And then the guide also talks about things like substance abuse, eating difficulties, even just relationship troubles. I feel like there are levels to this whole recovery thing.
Totally. And right. I think that's what makes this guide so insightful. It recognizes that recovery isn't just for those big moments, right?
Yeah.
Like even everyday struggles, like if you're dealing with a chronic illness,
yeah,
or you just have like constant disagreements with your partner, like that stuff needs attention too. It's about recognizing the impact, you know, whether they're huge life events or just daily grind type things.
Okay. So I'm guessing the guide doesn't just give us a list of problems, right?
No.
So what's like the next step in this whole recovery journey?
Well, once we've sort of acknowledged what we're dealing with, it's time to make sense of it all. So step 2 is really all about unpacking those personal traumas. So getting to the heart of how have those experiences shaped us.
Okay, so how do we even start with that? It's like, I know I have baggage, but how do I sort through it all?
I know, right? It's a lot. The guide suggests this really interesting approach here. It's basically asking ourselves specific questions about each challenge.
Okay.
So it's like playing detective with your own past.
Really?
But not in a dwelling kind of way, more like gathering evidence so you can understand the full story.
Okay, that's already interesting. So what kind of questions are we talking about?
Well, the first one is who was involved.
Okay.
And this one is all about clarity.
Yeah.
You know, making sure we're not misdirecting blame. So let's say, you know, someone feels like their parents neglected them growing up.
Yeah.
By really examining each parent's role, like individually, they might realize, oh, you know, maybe one parent was actually quite affectionate, but the other one struggled to express themselves. And it's not about excusing anything. It's about getting a more complete picture.
Right. So instead of this big blurry memory of my parents weren't there for me.
Right.
We can kind of break it down into the nuance.
Exactly.
And be like, okay, this person did this, this person did this.
Exactly. And then that leads to the next question, which is what happened and how?
Oh, how? Okay.
And specificity is key here. The guide uses a good example. Let's say someone remembers feeling scared by their father's harsh voice, right?
Mm. Yeah.
By digging deeper, they might realize that it was actually certain words that he used. Or maybe it was the context, like if he had just lost his job and was taking it out on them, that made it so terrifying. It's about going beyond the surface feeling and understanding the specifics.
That how thing is really resonating with me because I think sometimes I get stuck in those vague feelings of like, things were bad.
Right.
But I don't know why. And getting to the specifics almost feels like, I don't know, like taking out some power from the memory.
It is. I mean, that's a brilliant insight. That's exactly what this process is about, reclaiming our narratives.
Wow.
And it doesn't stop there. The guide then asks, when did this happen?
Okay.
And, you know, we often generalize past hurts. We say things like, my dad was never there for me.
Right.
But if we define specific time frames, we might realize, you know what? That challenging behavior was actually limited to a certain period, maybe during a divorce or when he was dealing with his own issues.
Okay, so we're starting to like deconstruct these monolithic memories.
Yes.
And be like, oh, it was actually this chunk of time.
Yeah.
And maybe things weren't as black and white as we thought.
Exactly. Exactly. And that context deepens even more with the next question. Where did this happen?
Oh, where? Right, because environment matters.
It does. For example, let's say someone's father was, I don't know, really different when they were living with the grandparents.
Right.
Understanding the setting can really help us see things in a new light.
Wow. Okay, so we've covered who, what, when, and where. What's the final piece of this detective puzzle?
The big one. Why did this happen?
Okay.
And, you know, the guide acknowledges that you may not always have a clear answer to this one.
Right, yeah.
You know, we can't always know what was going on in someone else's head or what motivated their actions, but by trying to understand their perspective, you know, even if we don't agree with it, we can sometimes move towards a sense of peace.
I'm curious about the why question because I can see how it could help you let go of some anger or resentment.
Right.
But isn't there a risk of almost like excusing bad behavior? Like,
Sure.
oh, I understand why they did that, so it was okay.
That's a great question, and I think it's really important to remember that understanding someone's motivations doesn't equate to condoning their actions. The goal here isn't to justify what happened, but to gain a deeper understanding.
Okay.
And sometimes that understanding can help us release the grip that those past hurts have on us.
So it's not about saying it was right,
No.
but just more about getting a clearer
Yeah.
picture. Okay, so we've gone through all these questions, we've got the evidence laid out. What do we do with it?
Well, that's where the guide gets really powerful. The final part of this step is all about giving ourselves permission to let go.
Giving ourselves permission to let go.
Yeah.
I feel like that is such a powerful phrase. It's like we've been carrying this weight around, and now it's like, okay, you can finally put it down.
It is a profound shift, and it actually leads really nicely into the next step, acceptance.
I was wondering when we were going to get to that. Accept what is. It's one of those phrases you hear so much, but I think for me, I always have a mental block around it.
It is a tricky concept for sure. The guide doesn't sugarcoat it. Acceptance isn't about saying what happened was okay or forgetting about it and moving on. It's more about integrating that experience into your story.
Integrating it into your story. I'm not sure I follow. What does that mean?
So think of it this way. Every challenge, every heartbreak, every triumph, it all becomes part of the tapestry of your life, right?
Right.
Acceptance is about recognizing that those experiences, even the painful ones, have shaped who you are today. It's about asking yourself, how has this challenge, how has this pain made me stronger, made me more resilient, more compassionate?
So it's not about erasing the past, but about understanding how it's made us who we are in the present.
Yeah, it's a totally different way of looking at it.
I mean, honestly, when I think about some of the things I've been through, it's hard to see the good that came out of it. Like, it just feels like
Right.
damage.
And that's a totally valid feeling. And the guide acknowledges that this is a process. Like it doesn't happen overnight. It's about acknowledging the reality of what happened, the pain that it caused, but also recognizing that you survived it. And that survival, that strength, that's part of your story too. Have you ever noticed that sometimes the people who have gone through the toughest things are also like the most compassionate, the most understanding?
It's so true. I'm thinking about a friend of mine who lost her husband a few years ago,
Yeah.
and she went through such unimaginable grief. But now she dedicates so much of her time to supporting other people who are grieving. It's like that pain has become this wellspring of empathy.
Exactly. And that's the power of acceptance. It's not about minimizing the pain, it's about transforming it. It's about allowing those experiences to shape us in positive ways, to make us more resilient, more empathetic, more connected to others who've been through similar things.
Okay, so I think I'm starting to get it. So we've acknowledged the challenges, unpacked them, and now we're working on accepting them. Where do we actually go from there? How do we start living differently?
Well, that's where step four comes in. Learn to live consciously.
Go ahead.
This step is all about shifting our focus from the past to the present moment. It's about becoming aware of our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, and making choices that align with our values.
So you're talking about mindfulness, right? It's one of those buzzwords I hear all the time. What does it actually look like to live consciously?
It's about engaging fully in the present moment, like savoring those everyday experiences.
Okay.
The guide actually gives this really simple example: washing your car. Instead of like rushing through it, mindlessly going through the motions, you know,
Yeah.
really pay attention. Like feel the warmth of the water, the sudsy texture of the soap, notice the way the sunlight reflects off the wet surface.
It sounds so simple, and yet I can already feel myself resisting that. Like my mind is always racing ahead to the next thing, the next task, the next worry. It's like I've forgotten how to just be in the moment.
And that's why the step is so crucial. We live in a culture that glorifies busyness, productivity, like always being on, right?
Right.
But the guide reminds us that true fulfillment comes from being present, savoring the little things, connecting with our senses, appreciating the beauty that's all around us. It's about finding those pockets of peace and presence throughout the day, whether it's during your morning coffee, your commute to work, or even just doing the dishes.
Okay, I'm willing to give it a try. What are some other ways to cultivate this whole conscious living thing?
Well, the guide also emphasizes the importance of connecting with our work in a more mindful way, like asking ourselves, what is my purpose here? You know, what impact do I want to make? It's about finding meaning in our daily tasks, yeah. Even the ones that seem really mundane.
I like that because it's kind of like shifting your perspective. Like your work isn't just this chore. It's an opportunity for growth, for creativity, for actually making a difference. It's bringing intention to all those different parts of your life.
Exactly. And that intentionality leads us to step five, which is all about focusing on the here and now. It's about identifying what's truly important to us and making choices that actually align with those values.
So this sounds a lot like goal setting, but with a deeper purpose behind it. Like, it's not just about checking things off a list. It's about creating a life that feels really authentic and meaningful.
You nailed it. The guide suggests we start by asking ourselves, what is most important to me? What are those core values that are going to guide my decisions, my relationships, my overall direction in life? And then, once we have a clear understanding of what matters most, we can start setting goals that support those values.
So it's like, we're creating a roadmap for our lives.
Yeah.
But it's based on our own internal compass, not on external expectations or societal pressures. But what if you're not even sure what your values are? Like, what if you're so disconnected from yourself that you don't even know what you want anymore?
That's a really common struggle. And the guide offers some really helpful strategies for actually reconnecting with yourself. It encourages us to explore passions, to try new things, to pay attention to what brings us joy and what drains our energy.
So it's like rediscovering ourselves. Uncovering those hidden parts of ourselves that maybe we buried under, you know, layers of societal conditioning or past hurts.
Exactly. And once we start to reconnect with that authentic self, then we can start setting goals that align with who we truly are. And these goals don't have to be these huge life-altering aspirations. You know, they can be small, achievable steps that move us closer to the life we want to create.
So not overwhelming yourself with these massive to-do lists, but just taking small, consistent actions that align with what's important to you. But what about when things get in the way? What about the unexpected curveballs that life throws at you?
Well, that's where self-care comes in, which is the focus of step six. Concentrate on taking care of you.
Oh, self-care. That's a big one for me. I'm terrible at self-care. Mm-hmm. I always put everyone else's needs before my own.
You're not alone in that. So many of us, you know, we've been conditioned to believe that self-care is selfish, that we should always be prioritizing others. But the guide reminds us that we can't pour from an empty cup.
Oh, that's a good one. The empty cup. I think I've been running on fumes for too long.
And that's why this step is so crucial. The guide encourages us to identify our needs, like, are we neglecting our physical health, our emotional well-being, our spiritual connection? Once we've identified those areas that need attention, we can start making a plan for change.
Okay, so it's not just about, like, bubble baths and face masks. It's about taking a more holistic approach to our well-being.
Exactly. It's about nourishing ourselves on all levels, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. You know, it could involve making healthier food choices, moving our bodies more, spending time in nature, connecting with loved ones, or engaging in creative pursuits that bring us joy.
So it's really about listening to your body, listening to your heart, your intuition, and giving yourself what you need to thrive.
Absolutely. And making those self-care practices a non-negotiable part of our routine, like scheduling that yoga class, that therapy appointment, that walk in the park, and honoring those commitments to ourselves just as we would honor commitments to others.
I'm starting to realize that self-care is not a luxury. It's a necessity.
It is.
It's like the foundation for everything else, for healthy relationships, for fulfilling work, for just overall well-being.
You're absolutely right. And that brings us to step seven, which is seek and share support. This step highlights the power of connection and the importance of building a supportive network around us.
Yeah, I've definitely learned the hard way that we weren't meant to go through life's challenges alone.
Exactly. The guide encourages us to kind of take a look at our current support system. Like, do we have people that we can confide in, who listen without judgment, who offer encouragement and support.
Right.
It's recognizing that everyone needs a shoulder to lean on sometimes.
Yeah, like that saying, a burden shared is a burden halved.
Exactly. And it's not just about receiving support, it's also about giving support.
Oh, right.
The guide reminds us that we all have something to offer, whether it's a listening ear, a kind word, or a helping hand.
So it's kind of like recognizing that we're all in this together. And by supporting each other, we create a stronger, more resilient community.
Hmm.
So we talked about self-care. We talked about seeking support. What's the final step in this 8-step journey?
Step 8, discover your true self. This is where it all comes together. It's about embracing self-discovery as an ongoing journey and uncovering our passions, our purpose, and our potential.
This sounds exciting. Like, we've gone through all this healing and growth, and now we emerge as our most authentic selves.
That's such a beautiful way to put it. The guide encourages us to ask ourselves some pretty deep questions here. Like, who am I really? You know, what makes my heart sing? What legacy do I want to leave behind? It's about giving ourselves permission to dream big and to pursue those dreams without fear.
But what if you don't even know where to start? What if you've spent so much time trying to please others or fit into a certain mold that you've totally lost touch with your own desires?
That's a really common experience. And the guide offers some really gentle guidance for rediscovering ourselves. Like, it encourages us to explore new hobbies, to travel to new places, to connect with nature, to read books that inspire us, to engage in creative pursuits that spark our imaginations.
So it's like reconnecting with that inner childlike sense of wonder and curiosity.
Yeah.
Just allowing yourself to experiment and explore without judgment or expectation.
Exactly. And recognizing that self-discovery is an ongoing process, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're constantly evolving, learning new things about ourselves, shedding old beliefs that no longer serve us. It's about approaching life with this sense of adventure and openness, allowing ourselves to be surprised by our own potential.
This is such an inspiring way to kind of wrap up this exploration of the 8 steps of recovery.
Yeah.
From acknowledging those challenges to really embracing our true selves.
It's been quite a journey. And I think, you know, one of the most important takeaways here is that recovery is not a linear process.
Yeah.
It's a spiral. You know, there are moments of progress. There are moments of regression. There will be times when we feel stuck, overwhelmed, discouraged. But by embracing these 8 steps, we can navigate those challenges with greater awareness, with compassion and resilience.
You know, as we're wrapping up this deep dive into the 8 steps, I'm struck by how interconnected they all are.
Mm.
It's not like a straight line. It's more like this weaving path,
mm-hmm.
a journey of self-discovery and healing all kind of wrapped into one.
Yeah, and what's so fascinating to me is how each step really builds on the last one, right? Like,
right,
like
yeah.
They work together to create this foundation for real lasting change. You start by just recognizing those challenges, then you go deeper to understand them. And finally, we arm ourselves with the tools to actually navigate them.
It's like we're building a resilience toolkit piece by piece.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is, this toolkit keeps growing and evolving right along with us.
Exactly. And we have to remember, recovery isn't some finish line, right? It's an ongoing adventure. It's a lifelong journey. There will be bumps in the road, setbacks, and breakthroughs. But with these 8 steps, we have a framework. We can face those challenges with more awareness, more compassion, and a whole lot more resilience.
Absolutely. This guide has been packed with so many insights, but I'm curious, if our listeners could take just one small step today to kind of kickstart their own recovery,
mm-hmm.
what would you recommend based on everything we've talked about?
Oh, that's a great question. If I had to pick one actionable step, it'd be to simply take 5 minutes today and reflect on this question. What's one area of my life where I feel stuck or challenged?
Okay.
And just bring that area into focus without any judgment is a powerful first step towards healing and growth.
I love that. It's so simple and yet so profound. Just acknowledging where you are, giving yourself permission to even begin this journey.
Exactly. And, you know, remember, recovery isn't about being perfect. It's a process. So be kind to yourself along the way. Celebrate those small victories and never underestimate your own strength and resilience.
Beautifully said. To all our listeners out there, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it sparked your curiosity and maybe given you the courage to start your own unique recovery journey.
Yes, and remember, you're not alone. You have the power to create a life that is filled with joy, purpose, and well-being.
That's it for today. Until next time, keep exploring, keep growing, and keep diving deep.